Hi, this is Dr. Patrick Cohn with PeakSports.com and Hockey-Psychology.com. I'm here with a fellow MGCP. His name is John Stevenson, who's with Zone Performance Psychology at HockeyMentalGame.ca. Now, John's worked with the Edmonton Oilers and has 10 years' experience working in the Western Hockey League. John and I are going to discuss the importance of confidence in hockey, how you can gain confidence, how you can keep confidence, and what destroys your confidence. John, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dr. Cohn. This is a great great opportunity to discuss, I think, a really important issue in the game of hockey.
Well, talk to me about how important confidence is. I know it's very important with the students that I work with. From your perspective, how important is it to have self-confidence for hockey players at any level?
I honestly believe it's, if it's not the number one skill, it's definitely up there.
Yeah, and I often look at self-confidence as a cure-all for what ails your mental game. And what I mean by that, John, is if you have a high level of confidence, you don't become scared. You don't become apprehensive because you have a belief in your game. And it helps with other aspects, too, because if you make mistakes or you have setbacks, you know confident players can bounce right back after those setbacks or errors. Other people don't affect you. What other people do and say, like coaches maybe sometimes want to yell or they want to say negative things, that bounces off you when you're confident, as opposed to someone that's not confident and a coach says something negative or just some constructive criticism, that player can kind of lose confidence quickly because they don't have that belief in themselves.
Yeah. So they start to doubt themselves, absolutely.
Okay, so would you agree that confidence is the level or the strength of belief that a player has in his hockey abilities?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. What are the type of players that you see? I don't really want to stereotype, you know, players, but what are the typical type of players that struggle with confidence in games?
I think, you know, when we've talked about this in our course, I think often, especially in the year in Canada, you have the draft, the Bantam draft. It's second-year Bantams that are, you know, trying to aspire to play in the Western Hockey League. Mm-hmm. And then you have your 17- and 18-year-olds that are playing in the Western Hockey League, and they're trying to make the National Hockey League. And I think where I see sometimes guys struggle with the confidence is they, you know, they put really high expectations on themselves. And, you know, when they don't meet those expectations and the perfectionism, you know, they expect to be perfect every game. And I think that's where guys get themselves into trouble is, you know, if they put so much pressure. And where I see the biggest confidence debilitator is they often allow their focus, which ties into the concentration part, but they often allow their focus to drift onto social approval. You know, they're looking for coaches, they're looking for particularly scouts and their opinions of the scouts to allow, they allow that part to affect their confidence and their game. And that's the biggest issue that I see with a lot of the hockey players, and particularly at that age group.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I would say the very hardworking perfectionists that I've seen, that I've worked with, where they have a lot of what I call practice self-confidence. They're into their practice routines. They work hard in practice. They can perform pretty well in practice, too. But when they go to the game, it seems like someone took their confidence bubble and pricked it with a pin, and all of a sudden all the confidence they had from practice just disappears. How can that happen where a player goes from a practice situation all week, they're feeling pretty good about their game, and then once they get into that competitive situation or the game on the weekend, the confidence just seems to just vanish out of thin air. We know that partly due to some of the perfectionists that have high expectations, as you said, put a lot of pressure on themselves to perform in games. What do you think are the other factors, underlying that phenomenon that we see?
I don't believe they trust themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, too, they work on their strengths, but they have never really challenged themselves to work on the parts of their game that maybe are not that great. And so all of a sudden, that self-doubt creeps into their performance. I think also just the fact that they allow their focus to what I call time travel. They, before a game, they get into the what ifs. What if I have a bad game? What if I let my parents down? What if I let my, my teammates down? What if I let the coach down? I call it the X factors. They start to allow their focus to drift into the future. Or sometimes, I was just talking to one of my students today, and they lost last night, and sometimes he played well, but the team's not winning. And so he gets stuck in the past. And it's like, here we go again. And I think that's sometimes, having some kind of focal point to bring themselves back into the present. And I think, if you have where I see athletes lose, the hockey players lose their confidence is if they get stuck in the past or they get caught up in the future, having something that they can draw upon in the present tense, because then you have something, you have that control factor, and we've talked about this before, the control of the controllables. Well, that's all you have control over is your present behavior and what you're presently doing. And I think that's where sometimes athletes or hockey players in particular can lose their confidence.
Yeah, I think one of my mentors at Cal State Fullerton, who Ken Revisa, he used to talk about having that focal point or having that anchor where you come out. And he described it for baseball players. You come out and you pick something where that's familiar to you in your stadium or in your ice rink or on your field, where you can, that becomes a place where you can bring your focus back to and get back into the present. So that's pretty interesting. So let's educate some of the listeners that are tuning in today about some of the other common challenges with confidence and what I call them the confidence no-nos, right, or the mental game no-nos they're making with their confidence and what really destroys the confidence. So far, we've already talked about perfectionists have trouble with their confidence, and we talked about how athletes with high expectations often destroy their confidence because of that confidence expectation connection. If you set the bar so high for yourself and you go out there and try to be perfect and then you're not perfect, it's disappointing or it's upsetting to those athletes. And they can also start to question themselves. You also said athletes that focus too much on the what ifs and focusing, what if I lose the game? What if we choke this game away? Or what about if I let in too many goals? Etc., that has a tendency to bleed into doubt. What are some other errors that players are making either, pregame, in the beginning of the game, or even the night before a game?
Well, I think the biggest one that I see in hockey is they focus on what they don't want to have happen on the ice as opposed to what they do want to do on the ice. And I think, that's one of the biggest issues that I see. It's, I hope I don't, fall down and make a mistake. And they have that mental picture running through their mind. And it's the self-fulfilling prophecy. Whatever you think about, that's where your energy's going to go. And then all of a sudden, the very thing that you don't want is the very thing that you get. And as opposed to another sports psychologist, Saul Miller, talks about your ABCs. And what he talks about there is what do you want to do on the ice? So as a goaltender, it might be being on the top of my crease, being patient, tracking, seeing the puck into my body. And I think what you're trying to do is create that positive image of seeing yourself perform well, as opposed to the, you know, I hope I don't let my teammates down. And I think that's one of the biggest ones that I see with the hockey players that I work with.
Yeah. And I'll throw in another one there, and that has a detrimental effect on your confidence as well, is when an athlete or a player gawks at the other team or gawks at other players and starts making comparisons to others.
Absolutely.
And then they look at, usually when you make comparisons, you compare yourself to players who you think are better, and then you put them on a pedestal of some type, or you look at them as superior to yourself, and then that has a tendency to make you feel inferior, or your skills feel inferior. So I think that's another issue that players have to be careful of, is to not make those comparisons to others as well.
And if I can add on to that, I think sometimes the intimidation, the athletes, you know, prior to the game, oh my gosh, we're playing this team today.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow the opinions of others, or, you know, again, the opposition, control the controllables again, where they get so overwhelmed as opposed to focusing on what their game is and what they're going to bring to the game that day. They get so caught up in, you know, what the other team or individual is doing. And I think that's another way that athletes tend to lose their confidence.
Mm-hmm. And can coaches contribute to that? Watch out for so-and-so? Or, you know, this team's playing really good. Can coaches sometimes contribute to that type of mindset?
I think so. I've seen it, you know, with some of the Western Hockey League teams that I've been with. And it's not by design. Sometimes, you know, a lot of the pregame prep, you know, through video is showing the other team's systems, you know, their breakout, their power play, their penalty kill. And I think sometimes there can be maybe a little too much emphasis on that as opposed to what we're going to do to that team. I definitely think that can be a possibility.
Okay. So we've talked about a lot of factors that can influence confidence negatively. Let's get to some tips for our listeners. And I'll start us off, because I always talk about the confidence-expectation connection. And I think the first place that you want to begin is you want to look at some of the expectations that you have. Is your expectation to go out there and have a hat trick that game, have no mistakes, absolutely zero mistakes on defense, to have four assists in the game? I mean, if you set the bar super high for yourself, and it doesn't happen for you, then you can easily start to question your ability. And it's not only about statistics, John. I see it in the quality of performance. Like, oh, that maybe that pass wasn't as crisp as, you know, I've been passing them the puck in practice. You know, so it can even be kind of like how their performance feels and how it looks, how they think it looks to others. And now I guess we're talking a little bit about the perfectionist here, again, that has the high expectations. But you have to leave the expectations in the locker room. But before that, you have to identify what are the expectations you have for your performance, for your statistics, for your team, how you expect others to behave around you. I mean, so we can open up a can of worms here when we start talking about expectations. Once you identify the expectations, you have to agree to leave those in the locker room and instead focus on smaller, what I call mini goals or process goals that are more manageable and don't price in that success or failure that expectations do. Would you add to that, John?
Well, I think exactly. If you're the ABCs, I think that's what those mini goals are. And I think the nice thing is that when you have that feeling of control over those, you feel more confident. Yeah, I can do that. But when, you know, the fancy term is learned helplessness, when you don't think that you can make a difference no matter what you do, then you tend to lose your confidence. And I think that's one of the things, you know, I often have, you know, hockey players, I'll say, do you have control over the outcome of the game? And it's amazing how many hockey players will say, yeah, I do. And then my first question to them is, well, then why don't you win all the time? And then they, oh, yeah. Well, we can influence it, but we don't have control over it. And so I always often remind them, what are some of those small things? And what I'll ask them to do is go back and think of a game where they played really well. And, you know, and Ken Revis has talked about this, you know, where he's actually had them, you know, recorded, you know, put on an audio program and had them say, what did you do really well that day? What were three things that you did really well? And then they start to realize, oh, yeah, these are things that I definitely have control over, moving my feet, having my head on a swivel, you know, looking for and communicating with my teammates. And then that inspires them because they know, yeah, that's something that I definitely can do.
So we mentioned self-doubt is the number one killer to confidence, and self-doubt can come from many different areas. Like we said, the intimidation or just questioning your abilities. So how do players manage the self-doubt so they can maintain that confidence that they have from the previous week of practice and the confidence doesn't just go out the window? Because what I see is today is kids with very fragile confidence. One mistake or one error or one negative comment from a teammate or a coach, and it's easy for them to just jump on the doubt bandwagon. So what do you suggest for our listeners to help them battle their own internal demons?
Well, and a phrase that I often use with kids is nothing has meaning until you give it meaning. And I think the way we can derive meaning is just how we move our body, what we focus on, and the language that we use. And, you know, I think sometimes athletes don't even realize what they're saying to themselves. You know, like, oh, that game just killed me. and I'm like, did it? And so I often remind them to be very, very careful of how the language that you're using and the words that you're using or the self-talk that you're using, and just your body language. I work a lot with goalies, as you know, and when, you know, it sounds goofy, but a lot of the research has shown that when you're smiling, you know, you're more loose, you're more relaxed, and being very careful to, you know, look poised and look confident on the ice. And I think that's one of the things that athletes can be just mindful of. You know, last year when I was with the Ottawa Senators and you watch Alex Ovechkin walk into, you know, Scotiabank Place and you can just see the confidence oozing out of his body, just the way he's walking, his stride. And if you look at him on the ice, you know, how he celebrates and you can just see that laughter and passion. And I think that's one thing, again, going back to this control of controllables, we can control our body language. And in particularly tough times, it's a skill. And it's that phrase, act as if. And it takes time. It's, you know, mental skills are just like the physical skills. You have to work on it. But I think just focusing on your strengths, I think a lot of times when athletes get into a little bit of a slump, you know, again, where's their focus? Are they focusing on what's bad about their game, or are they focusing on what's good about their game? Going back into the memory vault and reminding themselves of past successes that they've had. I often remind the hockey players that I work with all the preparation work that they've done throughout the summer. You know, all those long hours in the gym, doing the training, doing the power skating. And I think, you know, to a certain extent too, what are some of the things that people have said to you? You know, what are some of the things, the praise that you've received? I know a lot of AAA players that I work with, you know, one of the first things is, you didn't make this team by accident. You know, there's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you're in the American Hockey League or the NHL or junior hockey. What makes you such a great hockey player? And I think if you focus on what your strengths are and what you've done to develop yourself to this point, I think that's one of the things you can do to quickly get yourself back on track.
Yeah, great point. I mean, I ask a question to my students that typically, you know, they get pretty surprised by when I ask them, how long have you been playing the game? And they might respond, you know, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, whatever level that they're at. And I'll say, so I'll come back with another question, and I'll say, so you've been working on your confidence for 8 years then? And they pause and look at me, kind of strange. And And then they finally come to the conclusion, well, yeah, I have been. And then I'll come with another question, and I'll ask them, does it make sense? Is it rational to throw away 8 years of confidence on one bad play or even one bad period or one bad shift? Does it make sense to throw that confidence out the window? And invariably, they're going to say, well, no. So I approach it, I guess, the same thing that you're talking about from a different perspective, because I want my students to think about that 8 years of base foundation confidence that they've had from practice and experience and success and coaching, and understand that that doesn't go away in one shift. It doesn't go away after one mistake like it does with perfectionists, right? So I want my students to sit down and think about, what is that base of that confidence? What supported their confidence? And I think you mentioned some of those things. What are their abilities? What are their strengths? What are the qualities of in terms of their practice and their work ethic, the coaching they received, the experience that they've had? And just get them to envelope and to embrace that past experience and those years and years of practice and play. And immediately you can see players just, you know, start to beam with more confidence, because now they're looking at confidence differently all of a sudden. Because I think, John, what I see is a player thinks, well, you're only as good, as confident as your last shift or your last play in the game. And that's completely false. Confidence is long-term projects, and it comes from years and years of practice and play. And I think it's almost irrational for players to think that way.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times where I've seen, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, but I think the opinion of the coaches, if all of a sudden, you know, a player has a bad shift, or as a goalie gives up a bad goal, and the coach criticizes them, and the first, you know, and next thing you know, the confidence goes away. And what I try to remind them is, you know, when you've played a really good game, do you need to have someone tell you that you played a really good game? And, you know, 99.9% of the time, the players are like, no. I know I've had a good game. And I'll ask them, well, how do you know you've had a good game? Well, I feel it. And, you know, and I know I put the effort in, and I put the, you know, I had the intention, and I did a lot of the, you know, pregame routine. And so I'll say, well, why would you give your power away to someone? And that phrase, I'm not sure why, but it, you know, when they think about it that way, why would you give your power to someone? They realize, yeah, that it doesn't make any sense at all. And this is just a temporary thing. It's not, you know, it's like almost like the storm kind of passing through and then getting back on track again. What's your opinion on that, Dr. Cole?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I'm going to add to that. I'm going to say players and coaches need to understand that confidence comes from more than just practice and hard work, right? It's not about just how hard you practice, but it's the thoughts that you program yourself with, and it's what you focus on when you're on the ice. Like you said earlier, if you focus on the negatives and avoiding mistakes, then that's what you're going to get, as opposed to more of a success-oriented approach. So let's, for our listeners, let's just wrap up some of the tips that we're giving them today, and I'll start it off, try to summarize what we've talked about, and you can jump in as well, John. So we've talked about, be careful of the expectations that you put on yourself, manage the expectations, and focus on the small stuff that's going to help, that you can be successful with, game in, game out, shift in, shift out, right? So that's one thing we've talked about. We've also talked about not comparing yourself to other players or other teams, but instead focusing on your own preparation and getting ready for the game and your own skills. We call it appreciate your own talents at the Ultimate Sports Parent. We've also talked about you have to watch, as you say, the words that you use to describe your abilities, your self-talk, the doubt, the internal conversations that you're having in your head that are going to ultimately detract from your self-confidence.
The why question. Yeah, the why questions.
The why
questions. Why does this always keep happening to me? Why can't I play well today? I think that's one thing I try to remind the hockey players that I work with. You got to be really careful with the why questions because they're never ending. You'll never get an answer to it.
We've also talked about how you want to take that success-oriented approach. We've mentioned that. You want to focus on small things that you can do positively. And we can also say you want to have a thick skin. I mean, that hasn't come up in our conversation, but you want to have a thick skin when it comes to what other people may say to you about your game and not let people pull you down, whether they're doing it on purpose or whether they're just trying to help you with constructive criticism. You want to be able to maintain that level of confidence. So really, there's lots of things that players can do beyond just goal setting and visualization, right? There's lots of things that they can do to make sure they're fine-tuning their confidence. Is there anything that I missed in that summary that you can add, John?
I think body language. That's, you know, and that's working, you know, when you come into the arena. You know, you're literally walking into the arena. You're putting on that suit of armor for the day. I know for some players, when they take their street clothes off and they start to put on their hockey uniform that day, that, you know, I'm adopting the role of a warrior now and being really mindful of, you know, like, for example, with the goalies that I work with, keeping their chin above the crossbar, smiling, you know, breathing. A lot of guys, they don't breathe. And just being very careful with their body language and what they're portraying. And just that belief that you belong there, that you deserve to be there because you've done all that hard work up to this point. I think that's the two things that I would add to that.
Excellent. Good. I think we've given them enough to chew on and to work on in their games. This is Dr. Patrick Cohn with PeakSports.com and Hockey-Psychology.com. If you want some more hockey psychology or hockey mental game tips, visit my websites. And I've been speaking with John Stevenson of Zone Performance Psychology. If you want more tips from John, you can go to hockeymentalgame.ca. John, thanks for the conversation today about improving players' self-confidence in hockey.
Thanks, Dr. Cohn. That was great.